Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Please use the same name to join the Ulu community that you used to join Ulu. Mark your calendars. The 2024 Ulu Annual Convention and Members Meeting will be held on Saturday, the 9th of March, and Sunday, the 10th of March in Atlanta. This is our first face-to-face meeting in a few years. Think of it as a family reunion. Remember, this meeting is for members only. Now is a good time to join ULU so you can attend our 2024 annual convention and members meeting. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Sun, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Our topic for tonight is What's in the News, African Family? Peace, Brother Sermon. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. I always am lifted and excited to be in the company of the family, including you, Sister Q.
Thank you very much, Brother Sermon. What news do you want to share with our African family tonight?
Yes. All of our lives, there's always constant news going on in any subject area that you can pick. Some of them natural and universal, and a lot of them are artificially created, and a lot of pollution of the mind. And there's a lot of horror going on in the world, and there have been, especially ever since the invaders came several hundred or more years ago. And one of the things that is an ongoing thing when it comes to African people that we have not is in mass taken control of on a large scale and high level note, and that is our natural health, because these wars that's going on and missiles and bombs and killings and all of that, vaccinations or things like that, all of that is a serious matter. And so war is being waged on us. And if we don't, number one, keep our spiritual, mental, physical, nutritional, and even sexual wellness at a high level, we're much more vulnerable to survive the other things that we would have to deal with. And we've got a growing number of sisters and brothers, which that's something for us to be very happy about, that are growing and awakening to the subject of natural health and everything else that's every other subject area that we have to deal with. But there's still a large segment of our people that are what I called, years ago, and I call them medically minded, meaning that everything about their condition or the subject of wellness, their mind is always from a medical perspective. And so if it comes to the subject of bad knees, bad backs, eyeglasses, or whatever, you know, they're thinking medically minded, they actually invite that stuff, you know, because before we got as far away as many of us are from nature, we lived off the land, we worked, and there was no incident that people were accustomed to, such as knee operations and hip replacements and things like that. But the medically minded, they live a lifestyle, including a sedentary lifestyle. That's why they've got a new medical term that came out in the last 10 or 15 years or so. Otherwise, it hadn't been heard of, and that's called sitting disease. And when it comes to the war that's being waged on us and the subject of emergency preparedness and just being prepared for war being waged on different levels than what it was today for us right here in the U.S., but the cruelty have never stopped here, but it can be even worse, and the less prepared we are to survive on our own and to survive in nature, to grow our food and forage and all of that, it just makes us that much more vulnerable. I'll stop right there for the start.
Okay. There are no questions, no hands up. I think the subject that you're bringing up is important for us to consider, not just consider, but to take action on, because
yes,
Nobody else is going to take action on our behalf, and neither should we expect anyone to take action on our behalf.
I agree with that.
We are in a society where everybody is programmed to expect the government to handle whatever needs to be handled without actually realizing that the source of most of our problems, if not all of them, is the government. So you can't really expect people that's making the mess to clean it up.
Yes, I agree with that. And one of the things that we've got to embrace is our mindset, just like I mentioned the term medically minded, that we need to be have a mind that's focused on being strapped with a gun. And I've brought this up before, but KRS-One was talking, and he was saying that what we need is God, the universe, and nature. He said, hold it. Let me back up. He said, what we need is gun. I just gave you a weapon. And that is God, the universe, and nature, G-U-N. And we need to be minded in that area. And with that said, abundance. The universe, God, the universe, and nature, it's got enormous, unending abundance if we are using it and tapping into it properly. And abundance is our birthright. The things you desire or we desire in our life are always surrounding you. And certainly when it comes to food and medicine and things like that, they're all over this planet and beyond and in the universe, including using the sun and the stars and the moon. And they are there ready for you to reach out and touch, ready for you to joyfully live them. But you cannot touch them with your hands alone, nor with your mind alone. You must also reach for them with your heart and know that you are worthy of these things. And we've got to just know that we are worthy and there's much abundance that we can reach out, starting, you know, in a powerful way with our mind to see what's around us in the environment and go out in nature and the universe's environment on a regular, ideally daily basis. Part of our wellness would have always been that we go outside. And so if we spent a night for hundreds of thousands of years in whatever kind of stone structures or grass structures and things like that, we always came out every day, most all of the people, to take care of your physical needs, to get water, to gather food, to be foraging, and in the process to be healed with the universal energy that certainly included the sun. And we were living for hundreds of thousands of years in a comfortable with little or no clothes on. And when it comes to benefiting from the sun, we just got to reawaken to that. We would be a whole lot healthier from the sun and the universe's perspective if we had no clothes on in the daytime in particular. And,
you know, what you said about abundance,
yes.
We live in a society where we are reliant on somebody else for so many things, like water, electricity, or whatever. And so we get used to the idea of a lack or a shortage of things because somebody can flip the switch and turn the water off or turn the electricity off. And so we lose our awareness that water is infinite and free-flowing and that electricity is infinite and free-flowing as well. That, again, goes back to what you're saying. We have to get back into our natural minds and reconnect with nature and recognize that everything we need is freely and abundantly provided for us through the cosmic God.
And we've got to take our space in life, stand out and be counted. And we are not competing, but we are taking our place in our purpose, and don't live mm-hmm. to conform. Don't live to conform. Break rules and limitations. Become the best version of you and not trying to be someone else. And these are some words of Brother Mpunga Joshua and some of his quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And also something that's very important that we tune into and pay attention to is we're not going to get anywhere unless we choose to be uncomfortable. And so somewhere in some recent months, I had a conversation, and it was about comfortable. I emphasized what comfortable people's definition of comfortable oppression is. But I question, is it truly comfortable oppression, which it truly ain't. It's uncomfortable oppression. And so this message here, I'm looking at a picture of a sofa, and it says we're not mm-hmm. going to get anywhere unless we choose to be uncomfortable. Because for us to change our ways for wellness, for survival, and to achieve liberation and maintain that, we've got to do things that we have been made uncomfortable about. It includes going outside, planting food, harvesting food, you know, it's in the wintertime, if it's getting in firewood, dealing with animals when we're out in the bush, in the woods, whatever, uncomfortable. You go out in the bush, in the woods, in rainforest, wherever, go out in nature, certainly in warm weather as well as cold, but certainly in warm weather, one of the things you have to be just able to flow with is bugs. And that's not all. I mean, there are snakes and animals all over the planet. And when you are comfortable to just know that they are part of nature, and just like you're doing your thing in a natural and universal way to survive, they're doing theirs. And some of them, theirs is to bite you. And some of the animals would eat you. And then also people have eaten animals. And so we've got to choose that we're going to do things that would especially initially make us uncomfortable. And some of it you would just become the norm. And so, you know, there's thousands or hundreds of thousands of years as Africans all over this planet, and certainly in the tropical areas, that being out in the hot sun and working on it, it was just part of the norm, and they weren't thinking of it as being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It was just the way nature is, and we can reach there, because, and I have done that, you know, in 95-degree weather, and I didn't have to be there, but I was doing it for a purpose. But it was in comparison to the people that were sitting in the air conditioning when I was out in the sun in 95, it was, I smiled about it because I wasn't I wasn't uncomfortable. I was sweating, but I wasn't uncomfortable. So some of it we've got to reawaken to a higher way of thinking. And we've got to, in terms of so many things that's in the news, we've got to be aware, as I said, about our wellness. And the wellness includes our family and our community and our relations with sisters and brothers, and sisters to sisters, brothers to brother, and also the ones that are in an intimate and sexual relation. And there's still too much pollution of the mind when it comes to the intimate sexual relations between sisters and brothers. And on the Us Lifting Us page several days ago, there's a picture that's a circular picture that's showing sisters and brothers in a circular, it's a circle of bodies, like it's a revolving circle of those brothers, sisters, brothers, sisters, brothers. And the message is that there are sisters and brothers that have been so confused, so deceived, and all of the things associated with the European socialization process, that they've just got a confused mindset about the subject of dating people. And the article goes on to say, we are dating people who are busy doing meetups with other people while we are still in the picture, meaning you're in an intimate relationship with somebody, but the other one of the people or both of them are busy doing meetups with other people with no problem, no concern about it. And then it goes on to say people are brave to sleep with someone else and come back to sleep with you, which is insanity. And a person who will look deep into your eyes and say, I love you, while they don't mean it, that's how messed up we are as a generation. And that only applies to the ones that's involved in that. And we are a generation where money is used as a total, as a tool for having sex with people and whoever would fall for that. And the relationship for some folks, it's just a hobby. And, turning somebody out is turning a young sister out, or a young brother included, out sexually is a hobby, and hurting someone is a joke, and beating up the lady friend is a discipline for some confused. And we've got to break that kind of confusion and pollution of the mind amongst our people. And on the higher side, Brother Philip Green writes, dear black men, discuss with your black sons planting farm, F-A-R-M, seeds, not planting his seed in random black women, to grow food to nourish you, and not randomly in mass planting of your seed, your sperm, in random black women.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't take control, as the Us Lifting Us Word have said, we'll just stay at the mercy of others. And a few days ago, a brother named J-A-H Bricks, posted a very good short video, and it's also another one that adds more to it. But it says, the language says, stop complaining and start creating. And it says what we must do is to produce people that will change the world. Produce the people that will change the world. You have to understand science and the art of mating. Learn how to pick a woman. And this is a brother saying, learn how to pick a woman that is worthy of your seed and will give you your child good traits. And some folks would hear that and they just say, oh, you know, that's interesting, or it's kind of comical. It ain't comical. It's very vital that we, as we had in our ancestors, they knew the subject of incorporating families and the elders when you're considering a mate, and you didn't just go flip a coin and pick one, or the first one that showed up at the club. Learn how to pick a woman that is worthy of your seed and will give your child good traits. And I'm reminded of a founder years and decades ago of Planned Parenthood named Margaret Sanger, a racist that does eugenics with black women in particular, black babies.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that we were like weeds, that we just spring up all, and that she came in to the community and opened up an office called the Negro Project, and you can look up the Negro Project. And the object was to convince black people, black ministers that would bring black women there. And the language that she expressed to the black community was that there were black women that had inferior genes, and that was one of the reasons that we were being discriminated against, because there was black women that had inferior genes that was giving birth to inferior black children, that we needed to sterilize them. But the only reason I brought up the Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger was that they have been themselves, amongst themselves, trying to nurture good traits, even if they're not doing it very well, or they don't have the same genetics as African people. But we must get back to making sure that we are passing seed in a worthy fashion and giving good traits to our children. And it's something that's very, very real. decades, more than 100 years ago, I believe. I believe it was in the 1800s. A study was done of Europe and Africa, and they looked at Europe, and this was a woman that wrote this book. It's in a book. And she studied the mating and the birthing process and how long the woman waited before she gave birth to another child in Europe. But she also simultaneously studied Africa, and she found out that African women were aware that there was a period of time in as nature calls for it to breastfeed the child for a year or two. And it also gave her body time to rest from giving birth. And by not having a child 1, 2, 3, 4 a year apart, which lowers the genetic strength of the child, African women were just by way of the spirit and nature aware of that. And in Europe, they were not.
Brother Thurman, you have a hand raised, so
yes.
I'm going to take this call, and we can continue after that.
Yes.
Caller with the last four digits, 6093, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is Sister Nanana. And the first thing I want to say is thank you so much, Sister Q, for your diligence and sharing your talents with Dare to Win. We really do appreciate that. And Brother Thurman as well. Just want to say big praise to both of you all for carrying on the work through this radio broadcast for us lifting us. And I'll try to be brief. Brother Thurman had addressed a little earlier the Western medical system, and once again, now with his reference to Margaret Sanger, I do think it's important that we always recognize that there is a system in place that is designed specifically to not allow us to be successful and to be healthy. I recently had an opportunity to provide aid and support to an individual who has been on dialysis for quite some time and had been doing dialysis at home and has been instructed by the physician that the dialysis now has to be done in the dialysis center. So this individual had just received a month's supply of everything that was needed for dialysis, and there was no way to return it to the Western medical system that had shifted out, the insurance that already paid for it. So I was trying to assist by looking for a way to donate this or to provide it to someone who, using dialysis at home, might be able to use it. Well, I'll try to make a long story short. It's been a very interesting journey. I've learned a lot in this process. And basically what I learned is that the system is set up in such a way that we are put in the same category as animals. If those dialysis supplies are to be donated, they can only be donated to a veterinary teaching hospital, to a veterinary clinic that might be able to use some of those supplies, or they can be donated to what was identified as underserved populations. And when I continued to check the various websites that I was referred to, the major underserved population at the very top of the list was Africa in all of those circumstances. So, you know, long story short, what that is telling us is that the system considers us to be in the same category as animals. Those were the only two options, to donate to a veterinary clinic or to an underserved population. And the primary underserved population was in Africa. If you chose to donate and you gave your donations to anything other than those two options, you have committed a crime. And you could actually serve jail time or have a serious fine for that. So it's very clear to me that this is a design to keep us in a certain place and to identify us as being less than human. So I just wanted to share that. It's a recent experience that I have had. And the system is not designed to help us, does not recognize, has full knowledge of the melanin that's in our bodies and the difference that the melanin makes, but refuses to acknowledge that in any type of any of the treatment programs or anything of that nature. So Western medicine is not our friend. So thank you for allowing me to speak, and I look forward to continuing to hear the future programs on Dare to Win. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister Nanana.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Yes. Yes, Sister Nanana, thank you always, and keep on doing the good work you've been doing for so long and bringing joy and beauty to the world. And she is so right. And so what, like so many areas where we are under attack, the solution is for us to get out of those systems. And so as Mpanga Joshua that I read a little while ago, it says, don't conform and do your own thing or do for us. And we can do it naturally. And so whether it's about whatever this ease is, we can do it naturally. We didn't used to have an epidemic of large numbers of sisters and brothers having knee operations and hip replacements and stuff like that, or dialysis. And if tomorrow we snapped our fingers and we said we're going to stop consuming artificially beige, man-made, chemically made, destructive, toxic foods and drink and mindsets, and we went back to, with a gun on our side, God, the universe, and nature, the dialysis centers would begin to close rapidly, not 50 years from now, real, real rapidly. So it's in our hands, but we've got to have the higher level mindset. So it's just like doing my art. It's a higher level mindset. And we've got to do that in all areas of our lives when it comes to spirit, mind, body, nutrition, sexual activities or whatever, and economics, war, all of those things. And just an example in terms of a difference, a higher level mindset when it comes to relationships that I was speaking about a few minutes ago. I want to read this piece. A disagreement with a toxic partner will turn into an argument that turns into a bigger problem. A disagreement with a divine partner will turn into a conversation that will lead to changed behavior or a solution. it's important you know the difference. So it's real, real important that we know the difference between a disagreement, which is really a conversation with a divine partner, that the routine would should be to be about change behavior or a solution, but not an argument that turns into a bigger problem. It's there waiting for us to come get it. It's a practice of our mind. In Vanica City, Washington, D.C., Sister Laini Mataka said, the question used to be, if I do, will you love me tomorrow? Meaning, if I do whatever, will you love me? Will you still love me tomorrow? Now it's more like, if I go ahead and activate my blackness, will you still love me tomorrow? Because there's sisters and brothers that communicate with the opposite sex, you know, about coming together, being together. But if one comes along and the other one doesn't, not into that black stuff, and one is into their blackness, the question is, would you still want me tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane that we even have to deal with such a question. And so if we don't practice our culture, the message is don't practice culture. You must live it. Don't practice it, but live it. And it applies to so many areas, because our culture is just so comprehensive and ancient. And among the ancient ways of African people, that few living in this so-called civilization in the U.S. and places like that, is that when it comes to the subject of having someone to teach you what you don't know, if it's about building boats to navigate the seas of the world, if it's about building and fabricating drums from nature and from wood and vines and things like that to communicate, and also to invite the spirits by rhythm and dancing and things like that, there are those who know, and as the ancestors have passed that along, that those who know must teach. And so the Europeanized way of finding someone that can teach you, it violates this sanity of African language about such things. And so in the African way in language, when it comes to someone to teach you, the one that you are seeking is called a Jegna, J-E-G-N-A, J-E-G-N-A. Jegna is an Ethiopian word that means a very brave person who is a protector of a culture, the rights of his and her people and their land. A protector of a culture, the rights of his or her people and the land. A Jegna is more than a leader. She or he is someone who is not afraid to speak truth to power, premise, full of integrity, and at the very core of his or her being sees the welfare and protection of their people as paramount. They are literally prepared to die for the community they represent. It refers to those who are committed out of an unqualified duty to their people and nation to teach our children the art and science of a politically conscious adulthood. Jegna, or Jenuch, which is a plural form, are those special people who have, one, been tested in struggle or battle, two, demonstrated extraordinary and unusual fearlessness, three, shown determination and courage in protecting her and her people's land and culture, four, shown diligence and dedication to our people, five, produce exceptionally high quality work, and six, have dedicated themselves to the protection, defense, nurturance, and development of our young by advancing our people, place, and culture. And the other part I want to add, and this was the words of Brother Wade W. Nobles from the book The book is entitled From Nah Azeli to the Genoch. And then there's a note that says, when honoring these African individuals, Jegna should be used instead of mentor, because mentor is derived from the mythical Greek character mentor who Odysseus left to care for and educate his son in his absence. And as with every other mentor in ancient Greek society, a significant part of his role as a teacher and guardian was to personally introduce his ward to a homosexual lifestyle mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some writings from some of the books of Brother Master Teacher Nwalamu K. Bamani Barudi. So we've got to culturally be familiar with the value and the historical value of Jegna and discard, put it in the ash can of history, mentor. That's not our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have heard of the definition of mentor and have made a decision not to use that word again. However, I didn't have a word to replace it. Now I do. Thank you.
Yes. Jegna. And once again, J-E-G-N-A, J-E-G-N-A. Look it up. And Brother Barudi, that's on Facebook, and it's got more than probably a dozen books out. That one of them is called, it's in Jegna's in more than one of his books, but it's in his first book called Daily Revolutionary Thoughts.
Okay, thank you.
And we've got to realize, just like what I said about Jegna and the fact that we should discard this European thought so that we can free up our mind and have African spiritual sanity. The word is, another word is, wisdom is stronger than liquor and higher than drugs. And you wonder why they want you drunk and high. And the person that said, and so there's this emphasis that for us to be high. At one time, they were trying to suggest that we were drug dealers and addicts and on, and drinking liquor and doing drugs. That was among the few things that we did, or things we did was destructive. And so now, but they still want you drunk and high. And so that's why they promote all of these various toxic, man-made, manipulated, genetically modified strands of cannabis. And got the segment of us thinking that they're advancing a good thing, but all of us that's on this call, spread the word and stay around for another 50 or 100 years and watch and see what's going to happen to our people if we continue to pursue this genetically modified and toxic thing called cannabis for smoking. Really, it's not suitable for anything. From nature and the ancestors, the wise ones, as it says, wisdom is stronger than liquor and higher than drugs. The wise one knew that the plant was very beneficial and nourishing as food and as a tea. But when you put fire to it, as Professor I in Jamaica says, it creates a toxic environment. And so we've got to pull together to avoid being pulled apart. And it's in our hands. It's waiting for us to come get it all the time. We've just got to have a different mindset. And a brother named Brandon wrote, your ability to work and build with others will determine how far you will go and how big your success will be. You can't do it alone. And the sooner you realize this and start working on your own personal skills and changing your mentality about life, people who want you to be around, who want to be around you and work with you, your social equity is determined by what you can do, not how you feel. And it's that, yes. And just as an example, that was talking about your mind and how you think and what you can do and not just how you feel, but it just takes some determination, you know, like I believe it's the Kwanzaa principle, Kuji Chakali, if I got it right, is self-determination. We got to be determined. You know, I'm looking at a picture that was posted on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, and it's showing an African sister that she could be 10 years or less, and she has arms with no hands. She has legs to her kneecap, so she's just a stump at the kneecap, both kneecaps, so she doesn't have beyond her kneecaps and no legs, no feet, no calves and no feet. But she's on the floor with a pencil writing and smiling. And so it was saying to do something despite our condition that makes us different. And so we have always, in spite of the conditions that we've been subjected to, though there were those that were very determined, and this is a determined young sister. And we've got to be that as a people. And now, when it comes to things that's going on currently around the world, you know, some cruel, huge killing going on in Africa, including the Congo and other places in the so-called Middle East. And this message says that as black people, we are very humane almost to a fault. But family, don't forget about what's happening in Africa. I know some of you don't think it's important. Some of you don't think it's important, but it's very important because when Africa rises, it will empower us all. So you can feel sympathy for the Palestinians, but don't forget our mother, Mother Africa. And I'm looking at an image here that our people really need to do research and get historical clarity on. And it says it's got a map of part of the land masses on the planet, a major part, it's not all of them. And but it's showing Africa as we are accustomed to seeing the shape of Africa, and in red, but it's connected to a gray landmass, but the message is saying there is no Middle East. It's all Africa. And so if we went into ancient maps, we would see that there was even more land connected than there is now, because one of the things that took away some of the landmass connection, even though the landmass connection is still there, it's just less than it was prior to them having people dig the Suez Canal. But looking at how it is and how it was, and including in timeline and origins of things, that was a time there was no Europeans. And so when the way the land masses are connected, where there is no Middle East, the African people, the animals, and everything in the ecosystem was still navigating or traveling to all of what's on the map, and there was no separate place called the Middle East. So we got to check that and do our research. And also, in 1947, National Geographic had put out a map in National Geographic, 1947. So that's something you can look up. It was published. And in this map, nowhere, and it shows Egypt or Kemet, or so-called Egypt, in the Mediterranean Sea. And it shows Palestine, Jerusalem, Syria, Transjordan, zero Israel. That's the 1947 National Geographic map. So you have to give some thought to that if you were not aware of those maps and other maps. And war, this is a writing that was put out a long time ago when TV was black and white in that color. It says, war itself is, of course, a form of madness. It's hardly a civilized pursuit. It's amazing how we spend so much time inventing devices to kill each other and so little time working on how to achieve. But it's there waiting for us to come and achieve peace. All of our problems, mm-hmm. all of our problems are solvable, even if at this moment we don't know the answer to all of them. And so when we really got to take a deep look, and it's coming out more and more in the news, but in Palestine, that area, currently there's as many as, according to some recent sources, as many as 10,000, and they call themselves Afro-Palestinians. And they interviewed one brother, and they asked him some questions about, and he being there, and he said, as an Afro-Palestinian, he's subject to racism and racist treatment by the Israelis mm-hmm. and also by the Palestinians. And so they asked mm-hmm. him, so why don't you leave? Asked him, said, why don't you leave? He said, when it comes to the way I'm treated, the way we're treated, but he said when it comes to how I perceive the treatment, it makes me stronger and determined because this is our land and we were here first, he said.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we need to know that. We need to know that when there's always more, and when it comes to the subject of origins and timeline, if there was a 1947 map that showed Palestine, but there was some earlier map, it didn't show that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people
for sure.
that called Palestine were not the first original people there. Or to say it another way, if they called in any way themselves Palestinians, they were originally pigmented African people.
Mm-hmm.
And a brother wrote October the 24th that there's a lot of activity and sentiment in both directions concerning and Palestinians and Israelis. What the brother made note of, in which a lot of us are not aware, but the Arab treats African people throughout the earth terribly. But we just got to just ingest the thought. Around the planet, they treat our African people terribly. And so we've got to be depending on ourselves. And yes, it's a horror story, you know, the bombing, the killing, but we got to know that, as John Henry Clark says, worldwide, the socialization process and the miseducation and evil, they don't love us. And going back to Brother Mponga Joshua, Farmers of Thought, he says we need a formula to reverse the colonial project and map a new path for political conversations, map a new path for political conversations. We can't have NATO agenda driving African politics. Those who oppressed Africa cannot write about her recovery. And we got to get that. We've got to do it for ourselves, and we determine. And so I mentioned, you know, it's some horrible stuff in the news about what's going on in the Congo and other parts of Africa where they are currently killing thousands of people. And a lot of it is because they have made Some of the Africans are defending themselves and moving towards in higher clarity of what that there must be a united one Africa, and that's what they're about. There's like a former president of Burkina Faso, Thomas Sankara, was doing. He was doing magnificent work for the people in raising up, if not total literacy, huge amount of literacy, feeding the people, raking in a whole bunch of money and robbing the people and him becoming rich. And but in other places, and so right now among the meanness and the madness that's going on in Haiti, there's a conflict going on where the neighboring part of what used to be all Haiti, the Dominican Republic, the Haitians are using a body of water to irrigate their agriculture so that they can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the people on the other side have surrounded and there's fighting and killing going on because they got an issue, a racist issue against black Haitian people in the first place. And we've got to be aware of it. So we've got to get on the right foot, or get on the good foot from a perspective of African people. And I think that was so. Any thoughts before I say anything else? Ooh, look what time it is! I didn't know what time it was.
It's
family. Yes, I see that now. So family, we have been ever since the invaders came under attack, and it's up to us to stop being at the mercy of others and take control of the economics and our spiritual, mental, physical self, our families, our continuing to populate as African people and everything that's involved with that. And we've got to realize that just like the scales of Mayotte, and for anybody that hasn't seen the scales of Mayotte, ancient scales, it's like taking a scale that you weigh something with, and if you put a heavy weight on one side, it dips down. And so Brother Peter Brown wrote that there exists an invisible scale for each of us. Each and every single choice and decision we make drops a pebble on one side or the other. The most innocuous decisions made every day place a pebble. You must make a habit of doing the right thing, automatically responding from the perfect place. The correct spirit intent over time, as the scale weighs in your favor, it becomes automatic for you to do the right thing in the scale weighing in your favor. And then he ends by saying, put some pressure on yourself, please, to do the right thing and put a pebble throughout every day so that the scale will be in your favor or in our favor. It's there waiting for us to do that. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And last thing I want to say, the oracles of Mayotte says, because we got a major, major problem with a lot of foul thinking and behavior and cussing included. It says, I will not utter curses except against evil. I'm done, family.
Thank you, Brother Fernand. And you have once again given us an understanding of why it is necessary for us to tell our own story and know our own story rather than to rely on his story. Thank you for everything you shared tonight. We want to thank everyone